Got it.
I'm going to call the meeting in order at 6:02 on September 11th. So roll call real quick, everybody around the table. We'll start with you, Linda.
Here.
Linda Freed.
Roger.
Tim Schroeder.
Jane Zunny.
Donna Barhart.
Jacob Kaiser.
Okay. That's just for the recording.
Oh.
It makes it easier.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, so the first thing we need to do is look at the agenda. And tonight, there's nothing special on there. We're going to pick up on the draft of the forestry report where we left off last time and see if we can finish it or come real close to it. So we need a motion to approve the agenda.
I move that we approve the agenda.
Thank you, Donna.
Second.
Second, Roger. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Do we have minutes for...
Nope. I failed to create minutes for last meeting.
Okay.
And so I made some minutes that just basically said, listen, the people are here at the time we started, and that there were no committee reports, no council people,
uh-huh.
And the entire meeting was spent on the draft.
Okay.
Did you email that to me, or did I?
Did.
It was with the PowerPoint? Because I know you emailed me. Okay.
Okay, so we'll just approve that at the next meeting.
Okay.
And that's fine. We'll give up for tonight. There's nothing in there that was big worry anyway. Citizen participation, we have none tonight, so we'll go right to department reports. You've got July and August here for us. Jacob, anything in particular interest for us?
Other than just the basic numbers, we've been without a proper director since November of last year. Darren Girdler, who was a public works director, has now been moved permanently to Parks, Rec, and Forestry, so he is the permanent director right now. And Marella, I'll butcher her last name, Slage, is moving from engineering position to public works director.
Okay.
And that was made official today.
Okay.
So that's the biggest news as far as the day-to-day activities. For my crew, we are down to one crew member because there was employee conflicts and they can't work together. So we're waiting for one person to move to another department and then I can hire that position. I was told verbally that I could hire a third position about a month ago, I still have not got any official notice of that.
Okay.
Many emails have said that's not going to happen.
Oh, my gosh.
You said who is in charge of Parks and Rec?
Darren Girdler.
Oh, Girdler. Okay, so that's interesting.
He's been the interim director
for
a year.
Right.
So
that's kind of good news that they're talking third person since we're kind of...
Yeah, they said that verbally.
That came from you, Darren?
Yes.
Okay, great. Good to hear.
We will see... I've asked in emails and no one has said in an email that it is going to happen yet. It was just a verbal statement.
Okay.
And I'm still waiting to... The two crew members we have can't work together. And now we're going to wait until one moves to another department and then I can fill that position.
So when you start looking, you can maybe get two?
Yeah, you have to have an open position to even get applications and all that stuff. But yeah, that's the idea. And contracts, most of our tree removal contracts are wrapping up. That includes Emerald Ash Borer removal replacement. Replacement should start happening in October. There are two sidewalk projects that involve trees, Ferguson Avenue and Pershing Avenue in between Forest Park Parkway and Hanley. They're going to replace all the sidewalks on both of those streets.
On what?
Pershing Avenue between Forest Park Parkway and Hanley.
They're going to remove.
And then Ferguson Avenue from Olive to the north boundary, Pagedale. And so I was asked to look at the trees that are conflicting with the sidewalk project. We are planning on saving as many as we can and doing some soil work underneath the new pavement, which is structural soil, to give the roots some oxygen and room to run past the sidewalk instead of push it up after they replace it. We will have to remove a significant amount of trees, somewhere around 40 trees for both. And I do this based on the condition of the tree right now, how close it is to the sidewalk, if it's a trunk conflict where the trunk's pushing on the sidewalk and we don't have enough room to bump it around. If I didn't remove these trees, they're still going to do their sidewalk project and they're going to rip up roots and these trees are going to start to die and become hazardous in the years to come. So it was my decision to do that, and I'm happy they asked me what to do, so we're going to get this structural soil project.
Yeah, the
rolling.
Structural soils make a big difference.
Yeah.
In the future.
Yeah, and then there's even some small trees that are on Pershing and Ferguson that we are going to add structural soil to, preemptively, I guess. So when the trees get bigger, they're going to have that room to run.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So when is this project going to start?
My part, the tree removal, I'm guessing it'll probably start late fall, early winter. The sidewalk replacement should start in spring. And this is a federal grant that has been awarded to U City, I believe, in 2018, and we're just now getting to it.
Wow. Why?
Well, why? Anything else?
He's on the record, so.
Right. Never mind.
Yeah, no, I just think that it takes time to do those things.
How do you do that exactly?
So with the structural soil?
So when they lift the current sidewalk?
Yeah. So when they lift the current sidewalk, we're going to do two, sometimes three slabs, and we're going to have a contractor come in and use what's called an air knife, which is just a big air gun, and they blow out all the soil, and a vacuum truck sucks it all out. So you're just going to have bare roots under there, going from the tree lawn to the neighboring property. And then it's my job to come in, or if we can get in the contract to have another arborist do this, that would be great. But we need to selectively prune out some roots, offending roots, and then in that void, you put the structural soil, which is basically 6-inch gravel with a polymer clay around it. So there's a little bit of soil and nutrients in there, but you just want the big pores, the big holes in the soil, so there's oxygen and the roots can grow through it. Because when you put a sidewalk in, traditionally they have to compact everything so it can support the weight of people, cars, all that kind of stuff. This soil was developed to keep that pore space but still allow a certain amount of weight to be on it. And it's rated to be under asphalt for cars and everything. So
is this what's used? I've always wondered how trees can live under sidewalks. So
they grow to the top because that's where more oxygen's at, and that's why they push up the sidewalk slab. So if you do that, in an ideal world, you would do that to every tree you plant, and you would have way less sidewalk impacts. And we're going to try to work that into individual sidewalk slabs where residents call and say, this is lifted up, and maybe we can have a contract and do it on individual sites.
So this is going to be done on select trees only?
Yeah, so I went down and selected the trees, and we'll just see what happens when we pop the concrete up. And the state has agreed verbally to give us money to do this, but I think we've decided to hold off on the state's money because it's so little compared to the federal money for the big contract. We'll hold off on the state's money until we get these individual sidewalk slabs. So we'll have some money in the bank to be able to do that when residents, say, come to this meeting and say, people trip over the sidewalk slab in front of my house. The forester says the tree's fine. Something has to happen. So that would be a good thing for that.
But you can actually save trees with that method as well?
Yeah. Yeah. So Beyond Housing is a I think they're nonprofit, but they work in the Normandy School District. There's 24 municipalities they work with, and they do everything from build houses to maintain the trees. And their arborist started doing this. It's the first one I know of in St. Louis area to do it besides the state. The state did it. Shaw Park neighborhood in South St. Louis. So there's just a few people that are doing it. It's starting to come on, but they've done it a lot in Europe, I believe, and it's starting to gain some traction at a lot of these seminars and workshops I go to. People talk about it. And
What's it called? Is there a certain method?
CU Engineered Soil or Structural Soil. So it's Cornell University Engineered Soil.
So what about the tree replacement? Are they going to cover that? And are you going to be planting that?
Yeah. Yeah, we will replant. And with the... When you do, like I told you, the air knife, that takes a long time because that soil is so compact and they have to use compressed air to blow it out. With new sites where we remove trees, we would like to come back and use hydrovac, where they just spray water in and suck the slurry back out, and they could do it in about a tenth of the time because there's no roots there and they just go right through. So... It's, you know, we're working. We have a contractor who does that, the same contractor who worked with Beyond Housing. And we have a quote from them. I'm told that we're going to work it all in to the whole project and try to get ahead of the federal grant as far as tree removals and the structural soil.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah. Big job, another one.
Interesting.
Yep. So that takes a lot of time. Because I'm the one, I walk down each street and individually look at each tree and put it in the tree inventory and select if it should be removed, nothing, or put structural soil on.
Very cool.
So this will only be done while there are those extra funds, or can this become kind of a long-term practice?
I think Public Works, they're... Idea is just to get this project done so we don't waste a federal grant that's been sitting since 2018, rightfully so, and let's just get on it and do what we can do and make the best decision we can as far as the trees and the sidewalk. But I think me bringing it up puts that idea in their head that we can do this in the long run, and the next step, like I said, would be individual sidewalk slabs that are lifted up and people call about it. Instead of most cities will come in with a stump grinder or backhoe or something and just rip all the roots out and put concrete back.
That sounds interesting. So this is a sidewalk lifting project. It's not a replacement project.
Nope, it is a replacement project. Replace all the slabs on those two streets. So they're going to come in and pop up. If I didn't bring this up, it would be they come in, pop up a sidewalk slabs, cut the roots out of their way, put gravel down, put sidewalk down, done. They're doing some aprons and some handicap access. But now we have to go ahead of them, pop the sidewalk slabs up. We're going to do the structural soil application too.
I understand that.
Do that, and then they come back and tie in their concrete with all of those. Mm-hmm.
So in the process of doing that, you would cut out roots you couldn't save and then...
Yeah, cut out ones that are just too high in the soil profile, or a lot of the times it'll just be one root and like a little nub on it.
You said that the first time and now it's all sinking in. That's
and
that, cool.
It just pushes up the whole thing.
Yeah, very good.
And doing that is not going to hurt the tree enough.
It'll hurt the tree, but so does pruning a tree in that
great.
Sense.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're putting in some little sapling and stuff all over it.
Yeah, and there's, I read about one city, I think in Sweden or Finland, where if you imagine the loop, it's just a whole business, it's all concrete. Underneath the whole thing, they had structural soil, and when they diverted the stormwater into that would actually water all of the trees as it goes through.
Wow.
Instead of just go down the street to the next storm drain and go down, they would divert it through there. So they try to use the stormwater.
Clever, huh?
But that's just a lot of planning and a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, I guess what they reduce olive, that's something to think about. Right?
Correct. Olive and the loop. I think those would be great applications there.
Cool. Can I just say, did you mean 14 August?
Pardon me?
Yeah, probably.
I was just saying.
Oh, yeah.
It's 14 August. It doesn't, I mean, no big deal.
Yeah.
But, I'm wondering.
As far as the department, I think that's about it.
Okay.
Lots of stuff going on, but yeah.
Good stuff.
Oh, also, I'll say this. I feel like I have to say this because I've been talking about being so far behind on stumps and wanting a stump grinder. They did decide to rent a stump grinder for 6 months instead of buy one. So that will be $35,000 to rent it for 6 months.
Ooh.
Instead of $85,000 to buy it.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
We are trying to get as many stumps done as we can.
Would it be cheaper to buy our own and have it for a couple of years?
Oh, well.
Well, the one we've had right now, we've had for 30 years.
Well, sometimes it's a matter of having $85,000 or $30,000.
Yeah, have it freed up, I guess. But I just was grateful to get a stump grinder.
You're right, Linda, in the long run.
Sure. Well,
the only good thing about renting stuff like that is maybe they come up with a better stump grinder, or is that not? Are they pretty much what I?
They're pretty much what they are now.
Kind of figured out.
Yeah.
They're not going to make a better mousetrap there.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll move on to council report. Our council person is not here, so we will skip that. We have no new business, and no one suggested any before we approved the agenda, so we will go into old business and start on our report. Working on that this evening. So Roger can slow us down and make sure he's getting all the changes we have. He put in on page 17, end of August meeting, 14th meeting for us, so I presume we start on the next page after that.
There were a few pages that got slipped down.
Yeah, okay.
So
we'll just start there. So let's start at page 18 and then...
percentage of contract versus in-house work.
Right. They're now numbered, so...
Well, they are, actually.
Yeah.
Yep.
Progress,
thank
eh?
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't need reading glasses.
Okay.
I do. Yeah, well...
This thing's not speaking to me much, I guess. Why? So if you get that third person, then that this might start going the other way in terms of contract worker.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Although I think didn't a lot of that contract work, isn't that coincidental with a new pruning program?
This is for tree removals.
Oh, this is only for removals. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I don't know what to say about that. It's fine the way it is.
I don't know. You could use a different graph to make it, because it's, they're both linear.
Yeah.
One's going up, one's going down.
Tim was referring to the ash tree contract.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Were you referring to the ash tree contract, removal contract? Oh.
No, he's talking about the pruning cycles.
Oh.
Because that was a lot of contract work.
I see.
But, I mean, boring graph. It just shows what it is, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So, I think we might end up in a situation where we're going to end up paring this thing down. And so some of these pages that aren't as interesting, we're going to either fly through them, or we're just going to eliminate them. But we'll make that decision once we're done.
Well, we can hide them so they don't show up in a slideshow, but we haven't lost them.
That's exactly. That's good. Yeah. A good suggestion. Okay, so volunteer hours contributed to the next page. I don't know what we can. At the moment, we don't have any volunteer hours.
We do, yeah, we have some. UCity and Bloom has way more, and I don't think I don't know how volunteer hours are going to aid in the the argument, add to our argument or anything like that.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, I'm kind of lukewarm on this one, too. So you guys want to just pump this one out of it?
Yeah. If we had volunteer hours, like volunteers are planting twice as many trees as city staff, that would be great. But I just don't. I don't see how I can make that happen.
I think we were at the point we put this in. The pruning was still on the table, and since it's gone, that's kind of
yeah.
All right, we'll strike it then. And then I think Roger, we also need to go back to. Find it for you. 8. And that was line 7 in there. We'll just take that out.
Going back to page 18, you were assuming a third employee, but we don't really know that that's going to happen at this point.
There's no assumption here.
This is support for that. Page 18, couldn't that be seen as support for a third employee because of the increased man hours on the contractor side for removals?
So I guess the only thing I would say is if this slide only means something if we think that we want to minimize contract hours. Is that?
I think that's what we had.
Goal?
I thought
sort of
that
thought
what
about.
Was.
Okay.
I think it is.
Okay.
Well, I'll say this. I would like to minimize contract hours mainly in pruning, removals.
Oh.
I don't care if we minimize it. You don't need to care that much to have a tree disappear. You just need to not get hurt and not damage property. So the more detail work, I guess I would say, pruning, my opinion would be to have it done in-house so I can keep a closer eye on it.
Right.
Removals, I don't care. I just need a tree gone. It's almost better sometimes for removals because I just give a contractor a list and they get it done. The bad part about it with all contracts is going through the bureaucracy of getting a contract signed, getting the money budgeted for it.
Yeah.
So the flip side of that, it would be nice to have. And we talk about a number of people. I want to make it clear that like my dream number of people is 6 people for the forestry division. That you could do both if you had 6 people. But if push came to shove and I was only allowed to use contracts for one thing, I would rather it be removals.
So let's kind of take that side, that thought, and put it toward the end where the conclusions and stuff, so those slides will actually mean something.
Okay.
Are we again going to consider the cost contract versus in-house? Because I think in terms of pruning as well as tree removal.
As far as do tree removals cost more than pruning?
Right, for instance.
They do, but I think if you broke it down into the amount of hours to do it properly, it would be less expensive to do the tree removals because they can get it done.
For contractors, you mean?
Yeah. And it would take us longer. Because it would take us more equipment. We'd have to buy more equipment to get tree removals done as fast as they do. Because when I call a contractor, so this morning I had a contractor call me at 7 o'clock in the morning and say, do you have any trees that need removed?
Really?
Yeah, I got a whole bunch. And I was like, your contract's done. I don't have any more money in that contract. He goes, we'll figure out billing later. And so they'll probably have to be added on to the next contract, whether it's next year, next week, whatever it is. But I needed some trees gone, and they wanted to test out their new piece of equipment that they bought in January that broke down, and they just got it back, and they had that vendor on site, and they wanted to show them, see how long it took for this machine to overheat. So I said, here's 4 dead ash trees in Hema Park, but right next to each other, have at it. And so they worked all day to do that, and we'll figure out what list to put that on later.
Yeah. That's why getting involved in the money and everything is just...
Oh, it's very confusing.
Yeah, because that was just an opportunity.
It's not a straightforward answer.
It is not.
Well, this is going to cost us.
It's going to... So I'm not going to have trees on a contract down the line, but I'm going to request that those trees are significantly cheaper than other ones, since you called me and had your crew got work for an entire day and you got the vendor to watch the machine work.
Yeah.
So, and it shouldn't be an issue. It's a contract that does a lot of work for us, and I got four trees removed. I'll lose one tree on the next contract, and I'll have my crew do that tree, kind of thing. So I just saw an opportunity, and I said, let's go ahead and do it.
When they grind those trees, do they put it at Heman? Do they leave it at Heman?
I let them dump two loads of chips at Heman today because I knew they would get the other two trees done for me. But usually I do not let anybody dump at Heman for contracts.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because?
Because we dump there, and with the, like on this next slide, the storms were just so overloaded with wood and wood chips right now. We tub grind it, we pay to tub grind it, and the double ground wood mulch just sits there. People don't use it as much as leaf mulch, so I'm overwhelmed, and I don't want to. When I do these big tree removal contracts, they would be doing 3 to 5 loads of chips every day for a couple months, and that would just be overwhelming for us.
It seems like it's also good to have contractors on hand who are used to working in your area. So when you do have problems with staff, like lately, you know, you had somebody who was sick,
mm-hmm.
or you have somebody who, for whatever reason, isn't available.
Yeah.
Then you've got your contractors handy, and they know what to do, and you're used to working with them, and you can just...
Yeah.
Have certain things still taken care of. Sorry?
But the slide 20.
And it's nice both ways, I guess.
Storm response, man hours, this is just a...
So, with this, I guess it's kind of a thing. I don't completely agree with the current storm policy that we have, because it ends up when we have a major storm... We let everyone bring all of their debris out, private debris, and we just get so backed up from all of that, which we could handle if we had a bigger crew, and it wouldn't take as long. Because in 2023, that July 1st storm, that was an insane amount.
So let's embellish on this a little bit. It's the new storm policy is added in 2021.
Correct.
Requires what? Or what are the bullet points about that that are different?
That we pick up private debris instead of just city-owned tree debris. And we take up man hours from Parks Department, Street Department, to pick it up. And there's no one out there policing who puts out what. So we'll make it through an area. We get as organized as we can. Go through an area, clean up everything. We go on the next area. We'll get a call from the first area from multiple people say, you didn't pick up my stuff. Okay. No one went behind the crew and checked because we don't have enough
or
time.
Or they put it out the day after they were
there. Well, they hired a contractor to cut down a tree in their backyard and they drug it to the front. And so they're getting, you know, $1,000, $2,000 off their tree removal contract because they just put it in the front yard and we're picking it up for them. And then we run into the issue with too many chips over in Heman Park. And then that adds to our tub grinding price because we have more material. And then it will eventually add even more because we're going to ask them to take away that material. So it's a snowball effect that policy has created, in my opinion.
And you don't use contractors to help you with this?
We did sign an emergency tree work contract that is for contractors to clear the road. And that's all they're supposed to do. So if a big tree falls across the road, they're supposed to clear it so emergency vehicles can get by.
Oh, I see.
So let's boil it down to what we're going to put on this slide. Then, if you got some ideas there, Roger, I wrote down some stuff. But
I would say, if we're going to keep the new storm policy, we have to be more efficient with it, and have. And then this just gets thrown back to me. Someone go by each street after crews have cleared streets, and count it off, and then we have to stick to our guns and say, no, we cleared that street, we're not picking stuff up again. Because last time it lasted 4 to 6 months, I think, picking up storm debris, which is just ridiculous.
Some of it's still being picked up.
Yeah.
My granddaughter and her man were right off of Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And nice little house. And fortunately, unfortunately, they were warned that this is going to be a bad one. You probably should get out.
Yeah.
And all they could think of was losing everything they had.
Yeah.
So there were phone calls out to the granddaughter's father, and also to us. I'm the great grandmother, maybe. I'm not quite sure. So we had the whole family out there, north of Wilson and south of Olive, and it was my older son's bright idea that if we've got to walk through 4 feet of water, we've got to hold hands.
Yeah.
And it worked. Nobody got hurt.
That's good.
So
but they were.
What page are we on?
We're on 20. Mm-hmm. I jotted down some stuff. Did you write anything?
I wrote admin 2021 states forestry will pick up private trees down by a storm. This overtaxes city forestry staff and overtaxes chip distribution.
Mm. And limit the time of pickup. In other words, you pick it up for 1 day or 2 days, but not after a certain length.
Yeah, but I mean, it takes a while to pick it up.
Right.
So it's, I think the answer is you have to have someone policing it and which we do. We mark off maps and say, you know, this is done, but we have to be able to say, no, we're not picking up anymore.
Just as an issue, the more storm hours there are, the less of our other work we can
do.
And that's the whole point of
right.
the slide.
Right.
And I think the other thing I'd add on there with climate change and more violent storms we're seeing, we're likely to see increases in that.
Yep. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And put that on there, and that's it. So we don't have to figure out how.
Yeah.
But do you want to add, I don't know, for whatever it's worth, in 2020 maybe there weren't very many storms, and, you know, 2021, do we want to put any data about the type of storm? We don't have, because...
Yeah, that's true.
The main storm events were in 21 and 23. 22, the flood, but I like what you said about climate change and how we're going to have increasingly more storms,
or more violence.
Yeah, and
mm-hmm.
I would keep it simple, like you guys said. I think
I like what Roger wrote so far. Do you have something on the?
Because Linda, I think if we were to say 2020 had less storms, it would just kind of muddy it up, and we would say,
yeah,
we would have to cite like the Weather Channel and say this storm happened on this day, and it would just be too much on that.
Or storm response commensurate with the amount.
This is the one big unplanned activity that we know is going to happen every year,
mm-hmm.
but we don't know how much, and that's. It's important to have this in here, because if our other numbers don't meet expectations,
and this number's up, we have an explanation. If it's not, mm-hmm. then we got another cause to go look for.
Yeah.
Mm. It might be, I don't know, what about a little asterisk saying, yeah, storms are getting stronger?
No, we are putting that in
there. Yeah, okay.
You got that?
I wrote, unpredictable issue will increase with climate change, and serving private owners takes away from forestry duties.
Okay.
Good.
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 Good, good. Okay. The watering hours required, I think.
That's more of the volunteer hours type thing.
Yeah. What do we think? It just, this is another one of those that I thought of it in terms of storm response, only because of, okay, if we have droughts and we're planting trees, now we got to go water them. Mm-hmm. And that takes away, again, from other activities, even.
Yeah, and I've tried to solve that problem with water bags, tree diapers, and it's working pretty good. Okay. And I haven't watered very many trees this year, which feels weird right now when we haven't had rain in 2 weeks, but before we had
time
to rain.
So do you think this is in any way...
I don't think it would strengthen.
Compared to storm?
No, I don't think it would strengthen in a case or anything like that.
My understanding, when a tree was taken down, and I communicated with you and said, that tree is dead. And it was taken out, and mm-hmm. I was very happy. And then the tree that I liked best went into that area. And I assumed that getting that tree replaced right in front of my property meant that I was supposed to do the water.
Yeah, we do put, when we plant trees, we put door hangers, something like that, in people's mailbox or on their door, and says, you have to water for 3 years, it's your responsibility, we won't do it. But I still, you know that people don't water and try to water trees or put water bags in that in those cases.
Do you remember some years ago there were a bunch of us who were watering?
Mm-hmm.
With that buckets. Was a volunteer thing that was actually sort of successful.
Uh-huh.
Is that something we can start over?
That's when I bought all the tree diapers.
Okay.
And I would definitely have someone water trees in parks and medians if I could get a truck and have it do it, and then we wouldn't have to worry about, because I put tree diapers out in the parks, the people mowing the grass mow over them, hit with a weed eater, and break them open.
Wow.
But, yeah, I don't think the watering would help in this PowerPoint.
Okay.
Mm. All right, so number 22 and 23 are ones that I just added. They were blank before, so we'll read through those. The state and county tree management, put in there the numbers that Jacob gave us. And so I get 519 is the right number. Some place we had 591.
So I'm working on a different file. So.
Oh, you didn't have the one in the email? Because, yeah, he updated 22 and 23.
Okay.
But you should have it in your email.
I'll switch over to it, and then I'll come back and take what I've already done. And
okay. You all set?
Nope, I need a minute.
Okay.
And you might be able to, I don't know if you can open both and copy and paste those two slides.
Yeah. If you want to take time to do that, we can do that, Roger.
Is this saying enough? I mean, it's not really stating that the county has totally ceased to replace trees and not bearing out its responsibility. I mean, somebody who doesn't know about that would not
learn. So under major issues, it says there are 519 county trees within the city that are not managed except for removal and storm damage and cleanup. Mm. So we kind of...
Or is that a...
On
the last page.
On the last page.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard
so
of it.
So what I'm trying to do, what I'm thinking
I'm
is
sure.
Each page gives some information, but we hammer the issues all on one page so that they can all
be said at one time.
I don't think it's clear, but...
Okay. So what do you want to put in?
Well, that I think something, at least one little statement.
Well, there is
that
one. Is the
that
one at the
I don't know that, you know, that they're going to make
right here,
that connection
on that page.
Properly.
Page
oh.
25.
Page
20,
oh,
on
25.
22,
the
on
22.
Three.
On 22.
Look at 22, you were complaining about
yeah,
that.
That's yeah. the one I've just
okay,
read.
Okay, so University City needs to take responsibility for managing these trees in order to ensure good husbandry of this significant asset. That's
yes, but it doesn't make clear why, because if up above what it says is
okay.
that they are being maintained, they are not maintained. Okay, they are not maintained by our forestry division because they are the responsibility of state or country or county. But it doesn't say that the state or county has dropped their responsibility for taking care of these trees.
No, that's
what
okay.
I don't think is
what do you
clear.
Want to say?
I think you could say...
What am I looking for?
What's that?
Page 22.
No, to find the
oh.
email...
It should be just when I send the, I sent it on Monday.
From the meeting?
About the meeting with the agenda on it. And the forestry report.
This is attachment.
The report is one of the attachments.
What's the name of it?
Urban Forestry Commission meeting.
It's the last attachment.
I think I have it open right now. Oh, but I can resend it to you. But as far as the
Forestry Commission report,
that's the
it would be the PowerPoint labeled forestry
Forestry Commission.
So you got the email and you found the attachment.
Yeah, but it's not opening.
Okay.
Oop, good.
But in this on slide 22, I think maybe you could say. Just a short thing. The county's not planting or they're not replacing trees after they've been removed.
I'm not sure why we have the statement that some of the most beautiful, you know, the most beautiful tree-lined streets, because they're not going to be. They're losing their trees very quickly.
I'm sorry?
What you start out, some of the most beautiful tree-lined streets in the city are not maintained by Forestry Division, and I'm not sure why you have that with the most beautiful tree-lined streets, because
well,
I mean, what does that have to do with
Jacob has made the point in the past that these are some of our most
well, you could say visible.
Visible and beautiful streets, you know, they're
I would say visible.
They're
I don't,
boulevards.
I
they're, you know, they're a real statement of why your city is considered a tree city, and we're losing many of the trees on those.
We all know what it means. Tell us what word you want to change.
Right. Well,
beautiful to what?
I wouldn't.
We're trying to get this done.
Okay, I would get rid of the whole beautiful tree-lined streets because somehow that means to me that.
I would say high profile.
Yeah, I would remove. Yes, good one. Some of the most high profile.
Okay.
There we go. Now we don't have to get rid of them.
And.
Yeah, that's much better.
Some of the most high profile tree lined streets in University City are not maintained by the Forestry Division because they're responsibility state.